Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Welcome, everyone. This week, Haftorah is on page 1165, Parshas Vayikra. One of our favorite prophets, each one is our favorite one, but Yeshayahu is the prophet of consolation. He had very nice things to say. They all did, but sometimes the prophets were rebuking us, and the rebuke is never fun. You know, we always wish everything was good and great, but the purpose of prophets was in order to get us to do what we were supposed to do. He often talked about the future messianic times and had messages for us, and especially today that speaks to us because we're past the temple time period, so to speak. We're already... It's interesting, too, because a lot of these prophecies went to the Jews who were in Bavel, and it referred to a future time, and we'll see that as well. Part of what people tend to do is sometimes they do the actions, but they don't have the right thoughts about it. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to talk about sometimes there's a mitzvah to go to the mikvah, to purify oneself. And he talked about somebody in Europe that would go to the mikveh and didn't have his towel, and so then he used somebody else's towel. And he said, you went to the mikveh and you came out dirtier than you went in, because you go to purify yourself and you end up stealing. You can't use somebody else's towel without permission. You know, it's like sometimes people in synagogue, they want it to be very quiet and proper, which is the way it should be. But then when they shush a person, they really embarrass them in front of the whole world. And it's just, you have to know how to do it. You know, you definitely, sometimes those people do need the reminders, but if you can remind them in a way that they don't get so embarrassed, they say, I'm never walking in that synagogue again, you know, because they yelled, you know. So they need to be told, by the way, you know, maybe you don't realize, but we're trying to pray over here, you know, it's okay. But you need to do things in a way that's sensitive. That's really the idea. Here, people brought offerings. They took care of the offerings, but they didn't always put the thought behind the offerings. Mm-hmm. And that's the important thing. In other words, if you just, okay, have a cow, have a sheep, you know, and you don't really think about what you're trying to do, so what's the purpose of the offering? You know, it's supposed to affect a change. It's supposed to do something. It's supposed to make a person better. And again, we tend to do the same things with different actions that we do, that we do the actions just because we got to do them, but we don't always think about what they really mean and what they're supposed to do for us. So Vayikra begins the book of the offerings. And so this Haftorah deals with that, about the function of what we're supposed to be thinking, what we're supposed to be doing. So it begins like this, verse 21, Amzu Yitzarta Li. This people is meant to be, was created for me. There are other peoples, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paro, he says, Bini Bechori Yisrael, Israel is my firstborn son. He's the oldest in the family. The oldest in those days was given a lot of responsibility. They would take care of everything. They would show leadership in the family. They were the oldest. We're meant to be like the oldest in the family of the nations of the world. In other words, the Gentiles, they don't always think about God. They don't always do what they're supposed to do. But we're the oldest. We're the firstborn. We're supposed to take responsibility. We're the ones that take care of things. We're the nation of the Almighty. Amzu Yitzartili. This is a people that was created just for me. Hashem saw, we were slaves and we were in the rat race just like everybody else were. Hashem said, I want to take them out of Mitzrayim so that they should lead the world and they should teach everybody what I'm all about. And so he created us as a nation for a purpose. So that's what Amzu Yitzar, this people, the Jewish people, Yitzar Tili, I made him for me. Tilasi Yisaperu. And they should declare my praise. They should talk, they should teach the world about Hashem. For us, is the big challenge is, and I think I've spoken about this before, is that we just got through a Holocaust, and we're still experiencing a Holocaust. Jews are disappearing every day. You know, you go to places where there used to be big Jewish communities, and they're now half empty, and they're filled with elderly people and they're young people that are Jewish that are just marrying out, or they're not connected, and they're just disappearing. So if we have energy and we have efforts, we first have to try to help our families. Our family is the Jewish people. Well, if we first have our direct family, and then we have our cousins and our relatives, and then we have the Jewish people, and then we have the Gentile world. And then if we have time left over, we can worry about the whales and the trees and all that good stuff, and the climate and the ozone. But you have to be able to focus. First, we have people in our community that are hungry. We have people that have medical things. We have people that need help. They're lonely. We can help them. You could bring somebody to a shir. That's an amazing, that's incredible. You have no idea what that does. That helps them spiritually, physically. But we're here first. We got to look around. Again, I start with our family. Sometimes you start with a family, it means sometimes you help clean up at the meal or whatever, or you help in some way around the house. That's the first kindness, the first. But you first have to focus on that. But we really should help the Gentiles too. We really should. We care about them. We want them to know the truth. We want them to know about Hashem. But since we're coming through a Holocaust and our people are just building up and just starting again, first we have to solve our problems, and then we can start. If all our day schools had everything they needed, and all of our shuls had everything they needed, and all our organizations had all the people help, so then we could volunteer for the help with the city and the neighborhood. And some people can do both and multitask. There's nothing wrong with that. That's great. But the prioritize has to be. So the prophets, we were living in the land of Israel, and things were relatively good. And their focus was to try to reach the world. And you had all these people worshiping idols. And part of idol worship was human sacrifice. They would capture humans and sacrifice them to the idols. And it was the people were not looked after, and they were harmed. And we were trying to teach them, you shouldn't do things like that. Handicapped were just like pushed out of the city and left to die. That was the way they did it, the Romans. We had a lot of work to kind of try to teach peoples of Hashem and what's important. And it's not that today we don't, it's just that today we have to prioritize our families and our people first. And if you can teach the Gentiles, it's nice. Somebody once told me Chabad had a campaign at one point to reach the Gentiles, but I don't know what came of it or the... but it's not that we don't care about them, and it's not that we shouldn't care. We do. It's just we have to take care of our families, we take care of our homes, and we look around ourselves first. So first he says, though, this is my people, and we're meant to be, like I said, that older brother, that the firstborn, and we're meant to tell the world the praises of Hashem. Below us, Osik Karasa Yaakov, and have you ever heard in the old days, they always used to have these Jewish mother jokes about the kids never call me. They don't call me. They don't.
They don't write.
That's right. Who was that? All the jokes went the same way. So almost here in the prophet, this is what Hashem says. He says, they don't. Below Karasi. Yet Yaakov doesn't call me. Israel doesn't call me. In other words, we don't talk to Hashem. Now, what do you mean we don't talk to? We pray. We daven, but sometimes we don't talk to Hashem. We say the words. I got to daven. Who are you davening to? They often say that there are certain sages or certain people that daven, and somebody watching and say, "Wow, they're really talking to Hashem." Like you could see that they really the way they approach it. They really feel it. Like sometimes we just we do it by rote. Lo habesi lisa olasecha besecha lo kabduni. When they didn't bring me the offerings, and they don't honor me. Lo avadti memincha, and they don't bring the flower offerings. Lo gati, they don't bring the incense. Lo kanisi li bekesev kana. The offerings that they brought are not expensive. The some of the Gentile things they require that you to give your firstborn. They required people to bring their babies and sacrifice them. They had, I don't know how these became popular. They used to burn little children on fires. It's mentioned in the Bible. They really did awful things, but Hashem doesn't ask us that kind of thing. Hashem really asks us very little from what we have, and that's kind of hinted to over here. Ach, avadti b'chatusecha, and instead, what did you serve me with? You gave me a serving, instead of giving me offerings, you gave me sins. Hagat v'nosecha. So it's instead of giving Hashem delight and trying to give Hashem, what we gave him was a lot of sins. Verse 25. And what does Hashem say? I guess I'll forgive them. Anochi anochu mochu, I'm the one who forgives your sins. Lamani, for my sake. Sometimes if people sin too much, they can't come back because they feel like it's too late for them. And so Hashem sometimes forgives our sins just so that it's like a magic power. It says that the prophets and the sages almost felt that Hashem is too nice, so to speak. There's a power of Kaf Teshuva, which really, there are certain things that you shouldn't be able to fix. You know, if a person does things wrong and is evil, how do they say, oh, I'm sorry? You know, we don't believe, you know, the Gentiles have a concept that you confess your sins to somebody, another human, and the sins disappear. Or you give money to, we don't believe that things disappear, but we have something called teshuva, which means that a process where you can fix your sins. But, you know, think about it. You know, you have Yom Kippur, you fast one day a year, go like this, you say, I'm sorry. It's really not a hard process, considering a person could have done a lot of wrong, and Hashem says you can change and become better. It's a very unique thing. And so Hashem says, I forgive your sins for my sake. V'chatosecha. And one thing about sins is you don't mention them anymore. Lo eskar. You know, don't mention it. It's some people, they harp too much on the pain. No, you have to be able to let go. Forget it. It's remember that time 20 years ago when you sat me at the wrong table at the event, or you forgot to invite me, or you didn't say good Shabbos to me. There's always people like that I still know people that are mad at me for something that happened a long time ago. And I don't believe that they had any right to be upset at me, but it was just, you know, whatever it was, it was a long, can't you let go? You know, can't we have a relationship today? Why do we, because, you know, there was somebody that was, that's a, somebody that used to be a contractor, you know, that does fixing. And at the time we had something in our house that we had to fix. And we chose based on what we felt was best for us. And this person didn't say good Shabbos to me for like 5 years, you know, 10 years. I don't know. He's still mad at me. I mean, it was, it's okay. And maybe he felt we should have used him because he was a congregation member, and maybe we didn't pay attention. Maybe his offer was just as good as the other. Whatever. I'm not saying we don't make mistakes. We're not perfect. But you have to let go. You know, there's no reason not to talk to somebody for 10 years because they didn't use you or whatever. Nobody did anything on purpose. We didn't want to hurt the fellow. We would have been happy to use them if we felt we could afford it. It was within the same, you know, whatever that issue. I don't even remember what the issue was, but everybody has things like that. We have to work to make sure that we're not the ones that are not letting go. We could say good Shabbos to people, there are plenty of people that wrong everybody in life, but you got to let go. God says, I'm not going to mention your sins anymore. So if Hashem says that to us, I'm not going to mention them. So, you know, we don't have to talk about it. You know, it's the past. Just put it behind us. You know, let's live in the present. In the present, the person wants to be friendly and is not acting like they were then. That's fine with me. I can establish my relationship. Okay. 26 is Karni Nishbata Yachad. And let's discuss it. Let's judge. Let's have a judgment. Let's talk it out. Saper Ato, and sometimes people, they don't want to discuss it, but with Hashem, Hashem is saying, let's have a discussion and we'll see. Verse 27. Now this is really interesting. He says, Avicha Harishon Chata, your first father sinned. He's kind of blending it on our family, you know. But the simple, most people learn this as Adam, that humans sin. It's part of, sometimes we shouldn't get too depressed that if we've made mistakes and every year we make mistakes, because that's part of the human condition. And so that's what it's saying over here. Your first father sinned. Some people actually say this was Avraham Avinu, because it said that Hashem made all kinds of promises to Avraham. And at one point, Avraham said, and how will I know? You know, how will I know that all these promises will come true? And Hashem said, there's a tradition that Hashem told him then that your children will have to be slaves in Egypt, and that we would learn our faith, kind of we'd be forged in the going through that experience. We would learn to have stronger faith, that we wouldn't ask questions the way Avraham questioned Hashem, which is difficult to understand. He was our greatest Avraham, but some people learn he was the first one that sinned. 28. V'chalu sarei kodesh. And even holy people, even holy officers, they also make mistakes. Batna l'cherim Yaakov Yisrael l'gedufim. And people were punished. Verse 1. V'ata shema Yaakov avdi. My servant Jacob here, Yisrael b'charti bi, and the Jewish people that I have chosen. Ko amar Hashem Elokim, Osecha Hashem made you v'yotzrecha, He created you, mi beten, and from the day one, as soon as we come out of our mothers, as soon as we're born, Hashem helps us. In humans, when they're born, they're really helpless. There are other creatures, and when they're born, as soon as they come out, they're able to fend for themselves. When you think about it, humans, today, you know, part of this, you know, health insurance was you got to have kids 26 because they can't get their own health insurance until they're older or whatever. People can't fend for themselves. So other people take care of us when we're young. Our mothers, our fathers, our parents, our society. But Hashem really cares for us from the day we're born. Altiri Abdi Yahu, don't be afraid for Yeshurun. This is an interesting word. There are synagogues with this name, Yeshurun.
Yeah, what does it really mean? Is it Jerusalem? Or?
No. Yashar.
Straight.
Straight. The Jewish people is were meant to be straight. In other words, the Hashem chose the Jewish people to be righteous or to do the right thing. I would say straight in this sense means do the right thing.
Okay. So why wouldn't it say... Yisroel and Yeshurun. Why? When it's Yaakov, it's more...
A struggle. It's a struggle to do the right thing.
It's the tribe, it's the person, it's not the nation as much.
Oh, well, it's a nation. It's just that Yaakov is still when we're struggling. That's the name of the heel of the... Yisroel is after we've conquered. But Yaakov is during the... The challenge in life is to be straight, to do the right thing, and not to be crooked, not to veer from the path. And so, Yeshurun means it's a name for the Jewish people when we do the right thing. We go yashar, we go straight, we don't get sidetracked, we don't get a detour, we don't get lost, we go yashar, we go straight. The German community, the German Jewish community in New York, is called Kahal Adas Yeshurun. That's the congregation of the straight ones. So I got my daily call. So that was a text at least. Yes. Sir. So, but it's important to see ourselves as being straight, as doing the something's crooked. It's not. We don't have any. We don't want to be involved in the monkey business. We want to be straight. Yeah, sure. Ki etzek mayim out summer, just like Hashem gives water to the thirsty. Eben knows him al yabash and thinks that it dried out. Esek ruacha al zareh. Hashem also gives his spirit to the Jewish people. And this is interesting that you find sometimes that there are certain people, there's no reason that we can understand how they came to Judaism. Meaning that they're people that live out in the middle of nowhere or went to cities where they had no other Orthodox people or observant people of Judaism. And it's almost like... Hashem just put his spirit on them and made them seek it out to want to come and want to join and want to find it out and want to be part of it. So that's kind of expressed here in verse 3. Hashem says, just like I water things, I pour my spirit upon your offspring. And he says, Hashem gives people the opportunity to seek out Hashem. And, you know, but we certainly, we'd like to take credit and say, oh, you know, well, we taught them. People are self, there are many people that just something inside that made them want to seek it out and find it and that it's come close to Hashem. And so Hashem says, just like I make it rain, I also rain spiritual on our descendants. Uberachti also, and Hashem says, I'll bless them. Verse 4, v'tzamku ben, and we grow up in between the weeds. He says, amongst the grass. But it means that even, you know, grass is like very things that are not planted directly. Things are able to sprout. Karavim out, just like things grow by the side of the sea. Verse 5. Zeh yomar l'Hashem ani v'zeh yikra b'shem Yaakov. Then they're different. Some people will call out to Hashem. Some people will call out in the name of Yaakov. Zeh yiktiv yado l'Hashem. And some people will write it. U'b'shem Yisrael yikana. And will be known as Yisrael. it almost sounds like some people will struggle and some people will overcome, but we're all one working on the same side. We're trying to seek Hashem. We're trying to find our service of Hashem as we turn the page. Okay, 1166. Go Amar Hashem Elok Yisrael v'Goelo. This thus says the Lord. Who is the Lord? He's our King. He's our boss. We don't have Obama's not our boss. Trump is not our boss. Hashem is our boss. Hashem is our leader. It's easier to say, we used to think, wow, we have a president, we have a king, Hashem is our king. That's where we get direction. And he's also our redeemer, which means when we get in really big trouble, he's the one we turn to. And then Hashem Tzvachos, Hashem has armies behind him. He has the multitudes. He has all kinds of different tools to help us. Ani Rishon, I'm the first, v'ani Achron, and I'm the last. This verse really says it all, doesn't it? It's like Hashem is our king, he's our redeemer, he's the multitudes, he's first, he's last. Umalodai, and besides him, there is no one else. That's the there's no mighty forces. Everything in the world exists through Hashem. This, again, the concept having to do with the Parsha is that we're supposed to be focused on having Hashem in our lives. And that's the idea of thinking about Hashem and what Hashem wants. Umi kamoni yikra. And is there anybody else who can say they're like me? There are other people that call themselves gods, but their definition of what a god is different. In a few verses, he's going to talk about their idols. They have gods that are not powerful. They create gods. V'yorkolo mishmo am olam, Hashem has been in charge of the world that's existed forever. V'yoseh asher tevono, and he has signs, yagi lamo, that will happen. Verse 8, al tifkadu al tiro. Do not be afraid, do not be... Now, it's kind of spooky when you talk about God and power and might. Hashem says, don't be afraid, don't be fearful. You'll be my witnesses. Hayesh Elokad, is there anybody else? Ve'ein Sur, is there anybody else that you know of? Verse 9. And now he's going to talk about some of the other gods. Today, we don't have man-made gods so much, unless you go to, I guess, Asia certain parts of the world, but we do have man-made religions where people sit around and they decide what they want their religion to be. And when you think about it, almost all the religions that are around us are man-made religions. They just sit down and they make up the rules as to what suits them. And if they decide, well, we don't need 10, we need 5, we have 5. If they decide they want to have women, they have women. If they decide you could have non-Jews a member of the shul, then you have non-Jews a member of the shul. It's whatever you want. Whatever the people vote on, that's what, I don't mean to pick on conservative and reform, but they're similar to the Gentile religions, basically, where they just decide what they want to do, and then that becomes their religion. We don't work that way. We can't vote our, we have Hashem, and Hashem told us what he wanted at Har Sinai, and that's it. These other religions, they like to create their own gods. They like to make something, and then sit back and imagine it to be holy. It doesn't work like that. We're in verse 9. Yetzer pesu kulam tohu. Those things that people make, they're all a waste of time. B'chumudeham, and the things that they treasure, their Hollywood stars and their fancy, ba'yi, they won't help them. Ve'deim hema. Ba'yi, they won't. Ba'yedu leman yivoshu. The things that they worship, they won't amount to anything. And they'll be embarrassed of them one day, what they prayed to. Verse 10. Mi yotzer kel. Who created their gods? Upesel nasak bilti hoyo. They created all of these images and things that have no power. Verse 11. Hein kol chaver yeshu. They'll just dry out and they things that won't last forever. Charashim hema. And they're sticks and stones. They're made from humans. Yikapsukum yandu yifskidu yevoshiya. They'll all be embarrassed when they see that the gods that they have constructed are powerless. Verse 12. And he goes on to describe different types of gods. So they had gods that they made out of iron, matzu apolba, and they made with coals and hammers, and they pounded. The yipo bezroy, and you had some very strong blacksmith make it. Gam rab, but the blacksmith is working hard. He doesn't eat. Ve'en koyach, and he's exhausted. Lo shasamayim, and he's the one who makes it is hungry and thirsty, and he's made a god, and the god doesn't satisfy him. And then you have the one that makes the god. You kind of almost have to watch this. Like you could go, in those days, you could go on a field trip and watch people make god. You watch the blacksmith make the blacksmith god, and you watch the woodchopper make the woodchopper god, and you watch the... And it's funny to see these things, that this is how you make a god, you know. That was the... part of the problem was the people in those days wanted to serve Hashem, and they wanted to serve the idols also. And they don't mix. Again, we have that also. We have people that, just in case it's really true, they want to, you know, now and then they come to pray to Hashem, but they follow the other gods as well. They make different forms and trees and things that they always worship trees. Verse 14, then they cut trees, these are different tools that they had to form them and break them and make them. From the forest. And they planted it, Oren v'goshem yagdil, and they waited until it grew big. Verse 15. And this thing that they call a god is really just fuel. You know, you burn it. Some of them will bake bread, and they offer bread. Af yifokel, and they bow down to the idols. So peso, and they make a monument and a statue. And verse 16, part of the wood they burn, and part of the wood gets turned into a god. It doesn't make any sense. It's the same wood. Some of the meat gets eaten, and some of it gets offered. How could a god be burnt with fire? And the other half of it, 17, part of it gets used for creating the god, and part of it he uses himself. Vishtachavu, and they bow down to it. Vispalelev, and they pray to it. And they say, V'yomer Hatzileni, save me, because you're my god. Verse 18, and these gods, lo yadu, they don't talk to them, they don't understand. Kitok maroseneya mehaski levatim. People, they want to pretend. They want to create their own religion. It's so shallow. You know, there's such a shallowness that some people have, where they want to create, the, you know, they pretend that they're serving a god, so to speak.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it, so that he can continue that site.